Vidura, the uncle of Maharaja Yudhisthira. Api.
Also.
Parityajya.
After quitting the body.
Prabhase.
In the place of pilgrimage at Prabhasa.
Dehamatmanaha.
His body.
Krishna.
The personality of Godhead.
Aveshena.
Being absorbed in that thought.
Tat.
His.
Chitaha.
Thoughts and actions.
Pitribihi.
Along with the residents of Pitriloka.
Swaksheha.
His own abode.
Yaya.
Departed.
Translation. Vidura, while on pilgrimage, left his body at Prabhasa. Because he was absorbed in thought of Lord Krishna, he was received by the denizens of the Pitriloka planet, where he returned to his original post. Okay, so, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The difference between the Pandavas and Vidura is that the Pandavas are eternal associates of the Lord, the personality of Godhead, whereas Vidura is one of the administrative demigods in charge of the Pitriloka planet and is known as Yamaraj. Actually, that fan is a lot of white noise. Can you turn it down a little bit?
Yeah. Or I can turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off. Whatever. I don't want to.
Down at the bottom.
With the bottom.
That's better. White noise would put everyone to sleep, including me. Men are afraid of Yamaraj because it is he only who awards punishment to the miscreants of the material world, but those who are devotees of the Lord have nothing to fear from him. To the devotees, he is a cordial friend, but to the non-devotees, he is fear personified. As we have already discussed, it is understood that Yamaraj was cursed by Manduka Muni to be degraded as a Shudra, and therefore Vidura was an incarnation of Yamaraj. As an eternal servant to the Lord, he displayed his devotional activities very ardently and lived a life of a pious man, so much so that a materialistic man like Dhritarashtra also got salvation by his instruction. So by his pious activities in the devotional service of the Lord, he was able to remember, always remember, the lotus feet of the Lord. And thus he became washed of all contamination of a Shudra-born life. At the end, he was again received by the denizens of the Triloka and posted in his original position. The demigods are also associates of the Lord without personal touch, whereas the direct associates of the Lord are in constant personal contact with him. The Lord and his personal associates incarnate in many universes without cessation. The Lord remembers them all, whereas the associates forget due to their being very minute parts and parcels of the Lord. They are apt to forget such incidents due to being infinitesimal. This is corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 5. Of course, that's the verse where Krishna says to Arjuna, many, many births, both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, and you cannot. Just to tell you what that verse says. So, Viduropi parityaja parvase dehamatmanaha krishna vishena tachitta Pitri bis vakshayam yajau. So, omagana, timananda shaganjana shlakaya, chakshura miditam yena tasmai shigurubena maha. So, of course, Vidura is one of the Mahajanas, the Dwadasa Mahajanas, the 12 great souls who set an example for us in devotional service. And as one of the 12 great souls in devotional service, he follows Krishna's description of a great soul in the 6th chapter, text 30 of Bhagavad Gita. Anyone know that text? No. Yomam pashati sarvatra sabam jamai pashati tashaham na pranashami tachame na pranashati. Where Krishna says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So what do I mean by that in relationship to Yamaraj? That Of course, he was cursed by this Mandukya Muni. So, this curse, he accepted as Krishna's will. And we see this is a very common denominator in the cases of practically every pure devotee. When something happens to them, fortunate or unfortunate, they see Krishna there. As Krishna says in that verse in the Gita, which I quoted, a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere and in everything. And of course, he's never lost to Krishna because of that. In other words, not a blade of grass, to put it in your common Christian language, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anything that happens is happening by Krishna's will. And of course, another example of that is the personality of Dharma, who was being attacked by the personality of Kali. And as he was being attacked by the personality of Kali, Maharaj Parikshit came, and Maharaj Parikshit asked him, you know, who's done this? And Dharma, basically, after giving a philosophical explanation, he pointed out that it was Krishna's will. And therefore, he didn't tell Parikshit Maharaj to attack Kali, which is interesting. You know, generally, we blame someone or some circumstance for our pain in this world, right? And, of course, a real devotee, what is it? Ajata, Shatrava, Shanta, Sadhava, Sadhavuchana. One of his qualities is that he doesn't have any, what? Enemies. And that's also Maharaj Yudhisthira was like that, too. So a devotee, he accepts that. Of course, at the same time, we should understand he doesn't blame his own stupidity on Krishna. For example, and I think you experienced that in New Orleans, when devotees were driving a car and they fell asleep and people died, or they made some mistake and people died, Prabhupada was approached, and the devotees said to Prabhupada, "Is this Krishna's mercy?" Prabhupada said, "No, it was their stupidity." So we can be stupid, so don't blame it on them. Don't make a mistake, you know, then fall asleep while driving and say, "Well, it's just Krishna's mercy, I died." And of course, you wouldn't say that if you're dead. You ended up in the hospital. Of course, you might say that. It's just Krishna's mercy, I'm in the hospital. He wanted it. No, you are an idiot. Or if you eat something that makes you sick, like Prabhupada said, disease comes from overeating. So if you're overeating and you get sick, you can't say, "Well, it's prasadam. You know, I just ate like 200 pounds of halva. I mean, so what's the problem?" It was purifying, you know, just following Prabhupada's instructions. You know, eat until you're filled to the neck. Well, that instruction is actually for new devotees. And after 50 years in the Hare Krishna movement, you're not a new devotee anymore. Humbly you may think so, but you're not. So you know, you can make a mistake. Like Prabhupada even said, so many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. Now, that doesn't mean you don't take Mahaprasadam, but you honor it. You don't just like gorge yourself on it. And especially if you gorge yourself on things that are too opulent, your lust will increase. I mean, it's a fact. What is it? Pacho vegan? Manasakrota vegan? Yuvavegam, Udurabhashtavegam. That refers to also overeating prasadam. I hate to tell you that. Anyway, so getting back to the point, you can't just blame Krishna for everything. You know, we see Krishna everywhere and see Krishna in everything, but also, you know, there's five factors of action according to Krishna in the Gita. And one of those factors, of course, is the doer, ourselves. Of course, there's the place, the endeavor. And one of the factors is super soul. So be aware of that. So anyway, so Yamaraj, he made a little mistake when he was dealing with Mandukya Muni. And that mistake was that he punished Mandukya Muni because when that Mandukya Muni was a kid, he pierced an insect with a straw or blade of grass. And later on, when Mandukya Muni was older, some dacoits took shelter in his ashram. The king blamed Mandukya Muni for giving the dacoits shelter, and the king pierce Mandukamuni with a lance. And Mandukamuni didn't die. And when the king saw that, the king understood, well, maybe I made a mistake in punishing Mandukamuni. And so he tried to remove the lance. He couldn't remove the lance. One of the reasons he's called Mandukamuni is it means the Muni with a lance. Because the lance stayed in his body for his whole life. You know, that's pretty nasty. You know, anyway, the king was repentant. And Mandukamuni didn't blame the king. You know, he went ultimately to Yamaraj, and he blamed Yamaraj. Why'd you do this? Yamaraj explained, you know, you pierced an insect with a blade of grass. And Mandukamuni said, you know, this is nonsense. A child should not be blamed below a certain age, like 8 or something like that, and for his activities. And he said, from now on, a child will not be punished in that way. And therefore, actually, you don't have to follow a codicil after you're 80 years old. Before you're 8 and after 80. So I'm just waiting. A few more years to go. So, a lot more years to go. Yeah, a whole bunch of years to go. Hopefully I make it that long. So, so anyway, Mandukamuni cursed Vidura because you acted stupidly, and that's what it means to be a Shudra. Actually, a Shudra means someone who doesn't have discrimination. Also, Prabhupada described a Shudra as someone who laments and hankers. You know, like Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmanda Sachati Nakanshati. So someone who is lamenting, oh, I could have done this, or I lost this. You know, like country and western songs. Oh, Peggy Sue, I'm so blue. I lost you, my dear Peggy. Anyway, so...
You made that one.
What's that?
I think you just made that one up.
I did. Because I used to love country and western songs. So, anyway. I think there was a song like that.
Buddy Holly said Peggy
Sue. Yeah, okay. Enough Maya for Clark Bhagavatam Glass. Or you're hankering for something. Oh, I must have that, I must have that. I mean, just like sometimes we see a fancy car, like the other day I was with one of the life members and he had a Tesla. You know what Tesla is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he showed it to me and he showed how you push a button and the doors, they move up. There's the gull wing doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going, wow, I would like one of those. Anyway, that's hankering. But then I thought, you know, if I drove around in that, I mean, everyone would criticize me. So better I just stick to a Prius. So, which is my car. So anyway, the hankering, lamenting Shudra. So Vidura was cursed to become a Shudra. However, he saw Krishna behind it. That's the point I'm making. And he actually understood what Krishna's intention was. I mean, many times things happen to us and we don't understand what Krishna's intention is until about 30 years later. You know, why the hell did Krishna do this to me? You know, I've been serving him so many years, so many artics have I done, so much. Like Yogendra, so many artics, so many Mangal artics have I come to, so much food I've cooked, I sacrificed my family. And now why is Krishna giving me old age, despite of all that? What an ungrateful master he is. Anyways, so sometimes it takes a while for us to understand why Krishna has done something, but at least we should understand it's Krishna. Okay, but Vidura understood, because it was actually his desire. You've got to be careful what you desire, actually. He desired to preach, you know, because it's... he was there as Yamaraj, and most of the time it's just administration, you know. You go to the sugarcane press. You get thrown off a mountain. You get to embrace the red-hot form of a woman or a man. Okay, bad, 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 bad. You know, it gets to you after a while. You think, you know, I got enough administration, I got to hit the road and preach. So, you know, he wanted a vacation like anybody else. He was thinking like that. And he understood Krishna was reciprocating. So you really got to watch out what you desire. Because if you ask Krishna for something, he may give it to you, and it may not be something that, you know, is going to give you ecstasy. I mean, of course, I always tell that story about Bhushaya and the desire tree when I'm here, right? You heard that story?
No.
That Bhishaya, I was with Bhishaya in Vrindavan, and I was embracing a desire tree and begging the desire tree that that he would remain unmarried. And I told him that. And he got really angry with me, and he ran up to the desire tree and embraced the same desire tree and had the opposite desire, and he was married very quickly thereafter. So, I mean, there's a question. It works. It actually works, you know, desire trees. And then there's another instance I had in Vrindavan. I was with a group of devotees, and they were disturbing me. You know, I was guiding them on a pilgrimage in Vrindavan, and they're doing what devotees normally do, arguing with each other. You know, loving relationships. And I said to Krishna, Krishna, make some arrangement so I don't have to go on pilgrimage with these people. I actually said that to Krishna. And next thing I knew, I was in the hospital. I'd been attacked in the most unlikely place imaginable, in the bathroom. The toilet split and he cut me like a big gash. You know, you imagine, you know, that's the only place you're probably safe. Of course, most accidents occur in the home like that. So so you have to be careful what you want. Don't ask, you know, be careful when you ask Krishna for something. You may get it in a different way than you had planned. Unless you give Krishna all the fine print on the contract. You know, like the demons, you know, they go to Lord Brahma and they say, I'd want to be killed by the daytime, the nighttime, or man, or beast, or any weapon. And Lord Brahma says, okay. And he fulfills the promise, but they still get killed. So, anyway, so Vidura, or Yamaraj at this particular juncture, he had that desire to preach, and he knew that Krishna was doing it. And so, therefore, he took birth in a very interesting way, as a Shudra, as he was cursed. But his mother was a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his father was also a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What do we mean by that? Well, there's that story that Vitrachurvirya, one of the sons of Satyavati and Shantanu, everyone knows the story? He died because he got married to these two girls that Grandfather Bhishma got, Ambika and Ambalika. And he died because, you know, he was just like too much involved in sense gratification. And that's what happens when you involve in illicit sex life or too much sex life. The Ayurveda says your ojas becomes depleted to the extent that you die or you get Alzheimer's disease or something like that. Prabhupada said that. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said one who engages in limited sex life, then the men by the time they're, you know, 40 or sometimes 50, Prabhupada said they wish they were dead, you know, having so many problems in the body. Because the Ayurveda has described that, you know, each drop of the seminal fluid is equivalent to like 80 or pounds of blood. You know, there's different descriptions Prabhupada gave at different times. And the Ayurvedas say that. So that's not just something coming from like disturbed sannyasi like me. So it's a fact. You know, the Ayurvedas do say that. So anyway, so this Vitrachurvirya died before he had any children. Satyavati was in anxiety. You know, how are we going to have the next king? You know, she was concerned with succession. Succession means who's going to be the next king or prince or whatever. Who's going to be the next temple president? So maybe we should call Vyasadeva to have a new temple president here. Anyway, in the future. It's interesting to think about it. So she called for Grandfather Bhishma, and Bhishma said, no way, I'm taking a vow of brahmachari life. I'm not going to have a relationship. Because it was allowed in that time for a brother to have a child with his brother's wife if the brother couldn't have children. That was allowed. Only if the brother couldn't have children. Not in other circumstances. So Bhishma said no. So then she revealed that before marriage she had this nice child named Shubhayasadeva by Parashara Muni. And so she had this deal with her child that every time she thought of him, he would come. That's a good mother and child relationship. So she just thought, Vyasa. And Vyasadeva, course, the word Vyasa means he who divides the Vedas, because he divided the one Veda into the four Vedas, and then the Itihasas and Puranas. So Vyasadev came, and she said to him, okay, you should have kids by these two girls, Ambika and Ambalika. There was a third girl, Amba, but she was the cause of death of Grandfather Bhishma. It's a different story. It has nothing to do with class. So therefore, Vyasadev said to his mother, not a good idea right now, give me 1 year. Because he had just come from the forest, executing austerities, and his hair was completely like matted, filled with tree sap. He was gaunt, you know, his cheeks were in like that. You know, basically he looked like someone from the forest, you know, frightening. And he said, you know, I don't mind looking like this, but, you know, girls, they like to see someone who's half decent. You know, it's just like, you know, I'd be frightened if you walked into your room right now. So, unless you had spiritual vision. But if you're a materialist, you'd be frightened. So she said, no, we have to have another prince immediately. Don't hesitate. He said, all right, I warned you, there's going to be bad results from this. And she said, I don't know, just do it, son. And as an obedient son should always obey the mothers. Except in Kali Yuga. So as an obedient son, he went first to Ambika. And Ambika was expecting some really handsome sage to come in. You know, because Vichitrabirya was quite good looking. He was really, as we say in Spanish, guapo. Does anyone know Spanish here? Anyone know Spanish here? Guapo. That means handsome, like anything, you know. Anyway, so he was quite the man, Vichitrabirya. But Vyasadeva didn't look the part. She doesn't close her eyes. She keeps her eyes open, but she's so scared to death that, guess what? She just like turns white, pale, all the blood rushes out of her face. You know, that's what happens. And so as a result, we know Pandu was born, he's white. You know, he's born, he's white, very sickly. You know, has a lot of health issues. And appreciates his spiritual position. And as a result of that conjugation, Vidura was born. So the point is, it was all arranged that Vidura would have a pure devotee mother and a pure devotee father. Because Vyasadeva was obviously a pure devotee, and the mother was a pure devotee too. Because she had taken shelter of Vyasadeva. Even if she wasn't an absolute pure devotee before the relationship, by taking shelter of Vyasadeva, she became fully purified. So Vidura is born, and Vidura had the envy. So, you know, for those of you who are gurus, take hint from that. You know, that as Westerners, we don't use full names. We just use introductory names. So, anyway, so Duryodhana was accepted Balaram as a spiritual master, and Balaram also didn't want to oppose his brother Krishna, so he went on pilgrimage. So Vidura went on pilgrimage. Stories about Vidura's pilgrimage. He's living with them, and not only is he living with them, but they had actually, especially Bhimsen, he had killed all of his sons, you know, 100 sons. And not only that, but Bhimsen kept hitting his arms like this, and saying, with these muscles I kill your sons. You know, to add insult to injury. Living there with the people who, she cursed Krishna's dynasty to die after the Battle of Kurukshetra, something like 34 years afterwards, to self-destruct, which happened actually. The Yadu dynasty self-destructed. And then she looked at Yudhisthira's feet, and Yudhisthira used to have very beautiful toes and feet, and they curled up, became ugly after she glanced under her blindfold. So Vidura, getting back to Vidura, so after this urging by Vidura, he and Kunti And Gandhari went with Vidura to the woods. And of course, we know that they later burnt up in a fire. There's some descriptions that it was a yogic fire coming from Dhritarashtra. Other descriptions was a forest fire. But in any case, they burned up in a fire. And Dhritarashtra, because he was committed offenses against the personality of Godhead's devotees, he didn't actually go back to Godhead. He got impersonal bangles up. And she didn't want them to discover when she was in the kitchen that she had to do the cooking herself. So she gradually had to remove, because bangles were clanging, she gradually had to remove all the bangles except for one on each arm. And so the moral of the story is, the Avadhuta Brahman tells the story. The Avadhuta Brahman says, from this I learned that by yourself you're not going to talk too much prajalpa. But you put two people together, it's the same thing at 1,000 miles away. They used to have faxes, no faxes anymore, but that was before faxes or email or text messages or WhatsApp or whatever. And so we were showing Prabhupada his telex machine and, you know, typing out to New York, to the New York Temple also had one. All glories to Prabhupada. The New York Temple didn't respond. This is a story that's in the Prabhupada Leelamrita, or one of the books. So, and they didn't respond. Eventually, the devotees typed out, Prabhupada is here, and they typed back, all glories to Facebook, which I use to present Krishna consciousness. We're on Facebook right now, actually. You'll see that most people are posting, look at this nice apple pie that I cooked tonight. And devotees do that. Isn't this scrumptious? And then you get all these comments. It looks delicious, Devi Dasi. So, and said, yeah, I wish I could make the same thing. Can you send me the recipe? Oh, yeah. And you get like 1,000 comments on Devi Dasi's pie. So, in the meantime, the people could have been preaching Krishna consciousness and done something practical. You know, here's a picture of me as a baby. I mean, even one time I posted a picture of my baby picture on Facebook. So, anyway, it's Pajalpa. So Vidura had these stones in his mouth, and that was to keep himself from talking family talk, you know, Gramya Kata. Because obviously, if he talked to Yudhisthira Maharaj, when Yudhisthira Maharaj came, it would have been, how's the family? How's Bhimsen doing? Yeah. Does he still eat a lot? Yeah, he still eats a lot. How is Nakul and Sahadev? They still think they're handsome? Yeah. How's the treasury? Yeah, the treasury's good. But that's not appropriate for Vidura. And that's what would have happened had he talked to Yudhisthira. So therefore he has the stones in his mouth. All rewards him. He also rewards people. So any questions or comments about these points? Questions, comments? Yes, Dwee.
The point you raised about, actual causative factor. What is the ultimate? I understand your point is that we should be responsible for our actions.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what is the ultimate understanding of if something bad happens? Even though I did it stupidly or whatever, but what is the ultimate?
If you do something stupid, and you had prior knowledge, ability to do something else, but just acted out of passion. Usually, when we do something stupid, it's out of passion. You know, that's one thing. It's not, you know, out of ignorance, you don't do anything. It's actually safer. Like Prabhupada talks about what active stupid or, you know, lazy stupid, or active intelligence or lazy intelligence. So he said, of being stupid, it's better to be inactive stupid. But if you're active stupid, you can create a lot of problems. So, passion means not to plan things out properly, basically. If one is too passionate, they're not planning things out. You know, as they say, of course we often say this, one who fails to plan, plans to fail. Or you're driving too fast, or you're not thinking that I'm too tired to drive, but you know, it's all right. You know, I'll push myself. I remember, because in the beginning days of the movement, we were all overtired practically all the time. I mean, I remember taking most of my naps at the stoplights. And I was woken up by the horn camera from the car behind me. So, how is that connected to Krishna? You know, if I do something, I make it deliberate nonsense, then I'm responsible for it. Of course, I should have examined the rubber band first, or whatever they call it, you know. I don't know what they call it. I've never gone bungee jumping, and I will not go bungee jumping. Believe me. So, you know, we're responsible for our actions, too. So, yes, but elsewhere, Nitya Siddha Prabhupada describes that. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it describes that all of the Nitya Parshada devotees are actually expansions of devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. So that's taking two together. That's using logic, you know, which Prabhupada said is philosophical speculation, which is all right. Using philosophy to draw a conclusion based upon logic.
I was mentioning that I felt like, for me, being unqualified, not being able to imagine myself going back on Bhajadiya, but I would really like to stay in what you've done in movement. I think I've said this before to you. And in a, probably in an immature way, but that's my sentiment. And some devotees were like, no, you shouldn't think like that. You know, you should think you want to go back home, back to Gaudiya. And so it was a debate about it, and I just wondered in your thoughts.
Well, there's that famous quote from Prabhupada where devotees... I don't know. I mean, I just teach it. But, you know, that's interesting because generally... Yeah, the reason Prabhupada responded like that is when people say, I just want to serve you life after life in the material world, the person's desire is to remain in the material world. You know, Prabhupada is seen through their statement. Because to say that someone just wants it, mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatat bhakti ahoy tukti tvaye, means that they're a pure devotee. This ashabandha thing. You know, ashabandha means, anyone knows what it means? It's hope against hope. That even though I have no taste for devotional service, no taste for chanting holy names, no compassion, I know that Prabhupada's going to save me. You know, you know, my favorite verse in the Shikshastika in that regard is Ainanda Tanuja Kinkuram Patitam Mam Bishame Bhavam Buddha Kripya Tapapada Pankajas Ditta Duli Sadrasam Pachintya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, and somehow or other I've fallen down into this horrible material world. Please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And that's a general prayer, which can refer to going back to Godhead or continuing to serve. So I'd like to just repeat that prayer. Son of Nanda Maharaj. Is that all right?
That's very wonderful. Thank
you. Okay, any other questions or comments? Before we get on to our real life of eating prasadam.
Maharaj, just wanted to thank you so much
for
your decades of staunch and unwavering devotional service to Srila Prabhupada, and especially all these years that you've been coming to Nitalavan and encouraging us and putting up with us and... So really, thank you so much, my love. We really appreciate your service.
Thank you, and thank you for putting up with me throughout all these years. With all my, you know, eccentric humor and everything like that. And thank you for all the service and the steadiness. I mean, the devotees who I've seen here year after year, you know, they have Jayanti here year after year, the cow, I mean, all of you, and Yogendra's up every morning, rise or shine, you know, rain or shine, or hail. You know, he's like the U.S. Post Office. Hail, sleep.
It is, literally.
Yeah. You know, he's Nishta personified. So all the, you know, all the devotees here who have been serving throughout all these years, and of course the devotees who have joined recently, the children of the devotees, and it's nice community. I think when we talk about any community or any situation, we always should see that the glass is half full. And see, the part that's empty is a challenge. See, sometimes people see the part that's empty as, a negative. Mm-mm. But we see it as a challenge. Well, it's great to have a challenge, isn't it? Life without challenges is boring. It's like, I mean, just like who was that demon that I'm thinking of right now? With the thousand arms who just like...
No.
Who's beating his arms against the mountain.
Kartavirya Arjuna.
He didn't have any challenges. He was just like beating his arms against the mountains. That's kind of boring life. You know, and finally, of course, he finally got his comeuppance. So it's good to have challenges. A life without challenges is death. Mm. Right? We should always be giving our... Like Prabhupada, you see, in his life, he was always giving himself challenges, pushing himself to the max. You know, at 70 years old, giving himself a tremendous challenge that none of us would be up to at this point, at our age. And he did it. And he, when he was in New York, he was talking, I have so many temples, they're just not manifest. I mean, that was a challenge. I mean, you can say that he had, he could see the future. That may be too. But really, he was giving himself the challenge. 108 temples before he leaves this world. Can you imagine that?
Not at all.
I mean, it's just, he gave himself a challenge. He had a vision. And so that's really how we can be successful in anything we do. You know, if the glass is half empty, that's the challenge. Go for it. Or like Prabhupada gave us the challenge of producing 17 books in 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, and devotees said impossible. They were negative. And Prabhupada said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. He said, if you actually have faith, you know, he challenged us. He said, do you have faith, you rascals? You know, I was there. You know, I witnessed the whole thing. You know, and devotees got it together. You know, they took up the challenge. So we have challenges like that. Let's take up the challenge. I mean, no one here is that old.
It's relative.
Well, who here is over 70? One. Just one person.
Two.
And you're still going. You're doing agriculture.
He's sharp.
Yeah, sharp. All right, you got two people over 70. I'm not over 70 yet. Anyway, so... And Prabhupada came to America when he was 70. And started a whole movement. Don't think it's time to go to Mayapur and Vrindavan and just live there forever until I die. You know, you hear devotees, you know, I'm moving to Mayapur now. How old are you, Prabhu? I'm 50. I've had it with this material world. What?
3 months bored.
3 months more what?
3 months you'll be bored.
Yeah, 3 months you'll be bored, and then you'll be in the holy dham doing nonsense,
yeah. Which
we see happening in Mayapur and in Vrindavan. So much nonsense going on. The Prabhupada said, give me the benediction of dying on the battlefield, like Arjuna, like a Kshatriya. That's Prabhupada's mood. So there's no one really old here in this room. How old are you?